Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y. And my name is Gabrielle. So I'm back. I know I took a little bit of a hiatus without really saying a whole lot. I think I might have mentioned I have to go back and listen to my last podcast that I did, that I was going through a lot of stuff with my mom. She is now in a nursing home being taken care of, which is very, very good because I was not able to provide what she needed. And as hard of a decision as that was, because I really do, I feel and felt the need to have to take care of my family because that is how I grew up. You know, that's what I was taught, that it's my responsibility. However, in this day and age, I can't just be home. You need a job to survive. And also my sanity was slowly being eaten away at, because it is very, very, it takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on the person that is dealing with dementia. It's the whole thing. So having a place where the people are, one, they're paid to do it. They're in shifts. There's a bunch of different people. It's not just one. So they have other people that they can back up themselves up on. And they're also trained and they know what they're doing when it comes to somebody like that. So, got a new job. I've been working my ass off. I have been doing my best to keep the lights on, a roof over our head, and food on the table. So, here I am. So, thank you so much for those new followers on Spotify. I just looked at it, which I've been without my computer for about a little over 3 weeks because my son's computer decided to take a dump. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't the computer's decision to do it either. We had a couple of brownouts and just power surges, and he needs a new UPS or a different power strip that has like a surge protector on it. He's directly like plugged right into the wall because there's like a new electrical box like right there that was installed when we within the last 7 years, so it's a nice new thing, and he just plugs it right into the wall, that needs to change, which is on the docket to purchase in future. But anyway, so I have been without my computer for that long, so this is me getting back into some sort of swing of things and feeling a little bit more myself again and being able to, you know, think about what I want to do for these podcasts and the future of the podcast. Because regardless of how much stuff is out there when it comes to nostalgia and when it comes to just the 90s generation, millennials in general, there's a lot. And it might just be because it's gearing up to advertise to me because I'm searching for certain things. And especially when I do these podcasts, I always like do some research behind certain things, because even though I've lived it, I have lived experience. So yeah, I'm just trying to get back into the swing of things, and I really want to take this podcast a little bit higher and expand it a bit more and be more back and forth, because I have a lot more followers. And like, I don't think I finished that. When I went to Spotify, I was like, I hadn't checked it in months because I haven't really been using my computer, even when I could use my computer to actually do anything. I was updating my website because my website was down for a little bit. Then I wanted to redo it. I started to do that. Then I stopped because I just wasn't feeling it. And now I feel like I'm getting there because things are getting paid. I have the internet. I didn't have internet for a little while too, because, you know, things are just, I'm a one income household in New Jersey. Okay. So it's just like, my son is now old enough he was old enough before, but he's opening up his own business for repairs, which that's something that we're going to talk about. And also we're going to be working on that Cinema and Controller YouTube channel that I was teasing for years now at this point. But now we're getting into gear. I think this is good. I'm in a better position, and I feel better position, I mean, as in I'm not like falling off a cliff. So I'm on the edge of that cliff, but I have a little bit more of a firm footing. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, so this episode, kind of going down a little bit of it's still nostalgic. Don't worry. It's still going to be nice and lighthearted. I'm not really going to go, not going to get really, really dark or deep with things. Kind of want to go a little deeper with some stuff because, you know, that's how I am. I'm like that anyway. But just kind of going down some other routes and, you know, see how people like it and we'll go from there. This episode, I wanted to discuss, why do millennials put so much stock in generational separation and nostalgia? Because if you look, and you look at the vast majority of things that you watch on TikTok, Reels, Stories, whatever, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram, and you're looking at like the nostalgia millennial, Gen Z, whatever they have, like those groups and stuff that you might have joined or just follow or whatever, or just passingly watch on your For You page. It's a good majority are millennials. And or Zennials, like that, you know, the older millennials. They're the ones that are very honed in on that nostalgia and that feeling and that loss that we all feel like it's not. Some of it is there, some of that you can actually get some things that you still own from when you were that time at that from that time. And some of us have lost that. Some things have been reintroduced as like, you know, for the current generation, which, you know, like the Care Bear stuff, which, by the way, I hate. They don't look like the original Care Bears. Stop re-releasing things and make them look different. It's like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Although the most recent movie that came out, I actually didn't mind that one. But I'm saying is that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Stop changing things. Stop making things that you think need to be changed and change it. People like things for a reason. And if you're going to redo it in any form, try and keep it as true to form as it was. How about that? Okay. That is my hugest complaint. And it's obviously an opinion. But I really don't like when they change things and there's no need to be changed. Like My Little Pony does not look anything like what the original My Little Pony looked like. It's kind of ridiculous now, to be honest. It's a little like a newer thing, but the Powerpuff Girls, I used to watch it. I loved cartoons. I still love to watch cartoons if I have the chance. Right now, I'm too adult right now to do all these stupid adulting things, and I don't have time to sit and watch gosh darn cartoons, which is kind of hard to find a good one unless you're subscribed to something, which don't even get me started with subscriptions. Also, what I wanted to get across that I watch a lot of different things on YouTube. I watch a lot of different things on Netflix, HBO, even the Vizio live television that came with like just stuff like I'll watch Supermarket Sweep. Okay. I always wanted to be on that show and they Shop Till You Drop. That's the one. I watch a lot of things. I intake a lot of things. And there are things where I'm sitting there and like, okay, yeah, like, sure. And you just, you know, you have your ideas, people have their ideas, people have their theories, you know, you take it or leave it. I don't argue because it's pointless to argue. You are allowed to have your thoughts and opinions, and I'm allowed to have my thoughts and opinions. I think people forget that, especially on social media. It's like you have your opinion and then all of a sudden that's the only opinion that people are allowed to have. So, you know, I think that's a big issue. Like, you know, we're allowed to have opposing opinions and we still can be like on good terms. I think people forget that point. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do enjoy exploring theories. One in particular is called the 1999 theory and why the 90s felt like the last truly unique decade. I was doing research I had this question. I'm like, why is it that millennials take such stock in nostalgia? Like I see Gen Xers on it every once in a while, but not to the degree of Gen Y, Zennial, Millennial, whatever you want to call yourself. You just see such an influx. There's just so much of it. When I came across this 1999 theory, which is based off of game lore for the game Warframe. And it refers to a time loop storyline that breaks off on an alternate route. And the stopping point is 1999. And we all know like the whole Y2K thing. That was like a huge, everything's just going to stop working because computers weren't geared to go to 2000. And guess what? They were. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying I believe it. It's just an interesting take on why we have this close feeling with the 90s and the separation of the generations. You have the roaring 20s. Okay, you had Art Deco, you had the flappers, you had, granted, it was a lot of like the social, economical, like stuff that was going on. But you can tell if you were looking at something from the 1920s, it's like, that's from the 1920s. If you were looking at something during World War II, wartime, you can say that is, you know, especially how people dressed and what was around at the time, because things were sparse because of wartime. The 1950s was very iconic with the music, the dress, the innovations of the household, you know, with all the commercials for having your like refrigerator, freezer and oven. And I don't know if I think microwave was around at that time. I don't know. But they, if you watch these old commercials and stuff like that, some of these refrigerators, man, I wish I had those refrigerators. They had some really awesome innovations that we don't have today. Like, okay, so I have a smart pad. I don't, but you could get a smart pad pretty much as your front door of your French door refrigerator. And it could be like AI, and it'll create a friggin' grocery list when you're out of something because of, like, you know, measuring the gauge of like how many friggin' eggs you have in the little slots that it comes to. I don't know. But so, okay, that's cool. But the stuff from the 50s is cooler, all right? And I bet you that would last 100 times longer anyway. Things were made so much better. Anyhow, I digress. So, and then the 1960s, come on, you've got, that was like a huge movement with music and anti-war slogans and people rising up and actually like rebelling. And then you had the 70s, which was a little bit more drug infested and things like that. Like, and the 80s, like you can tell from looking at specific things, either it be the music, clothes that we were wearing, hairstyles, slang, and maybe even just viewpoints too, to say, hey, that is the 80s. Oh, you're from the 70s, aren't you? Like, you could tell. When you get beyond 1999 and you hit into the 2000s, and like, I would say probably you see a bit of a transition from the 90s, the late 90s to the early 2000s, but then I feel like everything has gotten so very bland. And you'll see previous generations resurge into the fashion industry, which, don't get me wrong, I remember in the 90s there was a resurgence of 60s clothes. So we had like the bell bottoms again and the bright colors. I mean, if you look at Delight, the groove is in the heart, like, come on, you know, you got the flowers, and you had the peace signs and stuff like that. So it's a cycle. But what the massive difference is, and what this theory, if you so choose to just like listen about it, you don't have to believe it. I don't necessarily, if it's from a video game, like questionable, but it's interesting. It's a fascinating aspect of life that people are like, well, maybe let me question this. And I'm all for questioning things. That is how we discover things. That's how we, you know, most things that we have discovered started out as a theory, started out as something that we didn't know. And somebody just posed a question and then researched into it. So I'm not saying that this 1999 theory is going to be like poof, or like a fact. Who knows? But I doubt it. But it's an interesting idea. So the theory states 1999 marked the end. The world ended in 1999. Hence, subsequent decades were just repeats of what already happened, because nothing new had happened, because we're already gone. We're dead. Are we dead? Are we just stuck in this time loop? And we just see nothing new because we're just recycling what we already knew and what had already been created. But if we are stuck somewhere in a time loop, how come we can't create something new? Like, what happened to creativity? Because if you look at what's in Hollywood now and everything's getting remade poorly, I might add, there's been a few things that have been really, really good, but not to the degree it used to be. And I don't even think there's a movie out that has come out in the last 20 years that I can say has been like Neverending Story is for me, like Labyrinth is for me, like Legend is for me, you know, or Dark Crystal. Like, you go back and you're like, that's nostalgic. Now go 20 years ago from like 2005 now, it's still in the 2000s. Crazy, right? So I can't, like, I know my son very much loves Iron Man. That was like his movie, like in Finding Nemo. Yes, there was some great movies that pinpointed something, but not to the degree that I think that we felt us millennials feel. I don't know. It's just strange, you know? Creativity is a dying thing, I think, really and truthfully. I feel like either they're not being allowed, or it's just not being, people just aren't trying. I don't know. I don't really know. There are creative people out there. I'm just saying that there's like, I feel like the pool of creativity is drying up. Since then, nothing new has been done. So this theory, it says, are we sleeping? Are we dead? Is this just an alternate reality? Can we do like the multiverse madness, which I hated that movie, by the way. Conspiracy theory might be ringing in your head. And like I said, I'm not a conspiracy theory. Like, I will read about conspiracy theories just out of sheer entertainment, because some of the stuff is just like, okay, well, but it's proven. There are like that's wrong. And then there are ones that are like, that makes me kind of like question, but I'm not going to sit there and stand on a soapbox and preach about it because I can't prove one way or the other. So I'll just listen to it. I will read it. I will research just to get some knowledge behind it. And if somebody was to ask me a question about it, I could just say like, yeah, I know about this, this, and this, but you know, I'm not entirely, you know, I don't know what scientific proof or what basis it has, but it's an interesting idea. And this 1999 theory is an interesting idea. Is it fact? Hell no. Is it something that can be proven as fact? Most probably not. But it's an idea. And I like ideas, you know? And that's what we need. But I'm not starting a cult on it, okay? So just, you know, it's just something interesting. And it's just throwing these ideas as a possible thing, you know? And if you hadn't heard of it, hey, look, now you did. Are you interested? Maybe not. Some of you might be. Some of you might be searching it right now. But I find it fascinating. There is a YouTube channel that talks about it and talks about other theories, and it's called Metaphysical. I suggest checking it out. I'm not affiliated with them, so I'm not going to get any kickback on that. But I have watched a couple of their YouTube channel YouTube videos, and I do find it fascinating. So just have a look. Why is it that we, as millennials, think that the 90s was the last great decade? Now, I'm posing this question, and I'll give you, like, what I think, because, as you know, if you've listened to any of my other podcast episodes, my life was a little different than your typical tween teenager during the 90s, because I was bullied heavily. I didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't go out. I didn't party. I very rarely wore any of the classic 90s clothing. I did have flannels, okay? But jeans and a t-shirt, I still wear a jeans and a t-shirt, and that's pretty much been my staple go-to. I'm not really into that, and I've said that in, I think I had the episodes called Fashionista, I Am Not. So I am not, but I did listen to the music. We're still okay, right? Yep. I can see the thing. I have things that were very much a 90s and 80s, because I was an 80s baby. When the decade ended in 89, I was 6. So I was aware enough of the 80s and the differences. I had pictures of me in purple corduroy, for God's sake. So it's just an idea. So why is it that we think that the 90s, or at least, you know, a good portion of us millennials think that the 90s were, and ever will be, the greatest decade that has ever existed? I think, personally, that it's like a culmination. I think all of the other decades that came prior to it, obviously, that's how it works, that gave us what we had. And we were right on that cusp of the connectivity. Not everybody had a computer at home, although it was like towards the end, obviously, was kind of like they were in a good portion of people's houses. But it wasn't like how we use computers now. And even if you don't like so back in the day, it was like most people had a personal computer at home, and then it eventually turned over to like laptops. But now we have the smartphones. So when the smartphones came out, there's a lot of people who, unless you utilize your PC for something other than just shopping, searching, and social media, there's no need for you to have a PC, really and truthfully, unless you just aesthetically you just want it there. both my sons and my computer are Frankenstein's monsters. We've created them. We've built them ourselves. But we're very much gamers. I like to do these podcasts. I like to write. I like my blog. I like the web, you know, doing the website and stuff like that. So my son very much is, you know, researching stuff for his company that he wants to do, and gaming. So they're a staple in our house. And when they don't work like his, it's the end of the world. But not really. Like he was actually pretty good. I think that because we weren't completely connected and plugged in as we are now, we still had outside time. We still saw each other in person. We still made plans to go out more. We don't stay as home. We didn't stay as home as much. I mean, I did. I was a homebody. So this new world that we live in, where nobody wants to go out, it's kind of perfect for me because I also don't want to go out. But it's not good for our social meter. If we were a Sim, it wouldn't be very good. I don't give a crap if the new Sims allows you to fill that social bar with just a chat on the phone, because it's not the same. I have social anxiety, and I get anxiety in general just randomly. Sometimes I'll have an anxiety attack for no reason. So having to go out is a process for me, but that's not for everybody. You know, there are people who are very introverted and they enjoy people's company. And I do enjoy people's company, but like in smaller, more contained instances. Don't do parties. I don't do large crowds. Like when we have these things for work now that I work for, these like company outings, and I'm like, do I have to go to this? Like, I don't even know half you people. Like, I know the little accounting sector that I'm in. Can you believe it? I work in accounting now. I don't believe it. But I know it's for the employees, but it's just like, and then you're like, okay, is this going to reflect badly if I do not go? You know, I'm like, I just don't want to go because I'd rather be home. Like, actually, I will continue working if it means that I can just be away from everybody. I'll just stay here. You guys go. Have fun. That's me. I'll just stay in my cubicle on my own. Anyhow. So I do think it has a lot to do with technology, the advancements that we've made, and the fact that we are more disconnected now than we ever been, even if we say we are more connected. And I think that's why we have gone more insane now. Mental health is out through the roof. People not understanding general truths and science. I think people just going off the deep end it's a whole product of this quote unquote connectivity. Am I utilizing it right now? Kind of, yeah. You know, it's a necessary evil now, I guess. This is not necessary. I do it for my own, for me, and if anybody wants to listen to it, you know. But so yeah, just if you want to leave a comment about why you think the 90s, if you do think, maybe you don't, the 90s was the last great decade. Do you or don't you? And if you do, why? And if you don't, why? Was there a decade that you liked better? And do you think that the 2000s, so the 2000s, from 2000 to 2010, and then 2010 to 2020, those two decades, the 10s and the 20s, have anything that stands out as specific? Or is it just a conglomeration of the previous decades? Do they have something that was the 10s or the 20s, you know? Was it? Have you? I'm not in it enough to say yes, but from what my perspective, I don't really see anything worth noting, to be honest. Anyway, the other thing is do Gen Zers feel the same about their decade? So my son is a Gen Z. He was born in 06 and turned 18 last year. Crazy, right? I asked him, I'm like, do you feel nostalgic for anything specific? And like, you know, for me, I did a blog about music and nostalgia. Like, if you hear a song and it transports you back to the point where you can smell, taste, even feel a certain thing, like there's Blind Melon, No Rain. I remember my mom playing that in the car ride to go see my dad in the hospital when he was in the hospital for like 3 months because he had a heart attack, then he had pneumonia, and then there was all this other stuff that was going on. And he was in there for like a complete summer. So my summer vacation was spent going back and forth to Our Lady of Lourdes over here in Camden, which, you know, is not the greatest place in the world. Also, listening to it with her white little Sony boombox and in the pool. So I can smell the chlorine. I can feel the sun. And I can also smell the hospital. Like, it depends. It depends on where it gets me. So I asked my son Bryce, and I was just like, is there anything like that for you? And he mentioned, like, you know, Iron Man gives him nostalgia because that was his favorite movie. And I think that came out in 09. So he was only 3 when it came out, but it was like he fell hard for Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, okay? And I know a lot of people did, you know, I enjoyed that movie immensely too, but not as much as my son. And he still loves it. It's like his Iron Man to him is Labyrinth to me, I guess you can say. But, you know, I feel like it's a little different. But there are certain songs that I listened to in the car with him when he was younger. I was on a huge Disturbed kick, and Delirium, which had a newer album at the time, which had this song called Angelicus, which is literally just somebody doing, you know, operatic. But if you were to look that up, and, you know, I would play it, and the Angelicus he would fall asleep to, and Disturbed, I'm sorry, I did listen to that a lot during that time. So Indestructible, I think, was around that time. So when he hears those songs, like, it kind of transports him back, I guess. But it's not as visceral for him, I think. I think it's just, oh, I remember that. I remember at this specific time when you were listening to this, I was in the car, blah, blah, blah. But it's not as visceral. It's there. He acknowledges it. But it's not like, oh, my God, I just smelled chlorine with listening to Blind Melon, No Rain. And it's like, not for him per se. But that's him. Doesn't mean every other Gen Zer is like that. And I believe he was on the tail end of the Gen Zer anyway. Because then there was the Gen Alpha. But anyway. So I asked him, like, you know, he says he has some nostalgia, but I don't think it is as prevalent for him as it is for me. Do you know a Gen Zer? Have you asked them? What do they feel? Are you a Gen Zer? Are you listening to this? How do you feel? Like, how does this make you feel? I feel like I post all the time on my Facebook when we have to spring forward for our daylight savings time. And there's my friend Elise had posted a long time ago, and I was like, I'm stealing this from you, and I'm gonna post it every year. I almost forgot about it. And it's the count from Princess Bride, the one with the 6 fingers, and he's talking to Wesley, and he's just like, I just sucked 1 year of your life away. How do you feel? So this is like, I just sucked 1 hour of your day away. How do you feel? How do you feel? Tired. I feel freaking tired. Thanks a lot. I'm already tired. Thanks for making me more tired. I appreciate it. Big, big preach. Was there a stark generational shift after the millennium? And I think there was. I think when the millennium hit, and I wouldn't say just like that, you know, 1201, everything just shifted. But no, I think within the first couple of years, there was definitely a change in how we were. I mean, 9/11 happened in 01. There was a lot of fear-mongering at the time, the war on terror. There was lots of things going on to start out that decade. And I think that had a big hand in why things turned out the way they did. How have social, economic, and political changes impacted how we view the past? So when we were younger, politicians were politicians. Politicians were just like, there was kind of like a stark contrast between Democrat and Republican and the independents, and we had a couple other little things in there, but it was pretty much cut and dry. You got this with this, and you got this with this. Nowadays, it's kind of, I feel like there's blurred lines, and that's fine because nobody is stark one way and nobody's stark another way. However, with the way that things are, especially on social media, it looks like people are stark one way and stark another way, but there's always shades of gray. And I think people forget that. I think that we're all allowed to have our opinions, and we are allowed to be, we can debate, you know, you can think one way and I can think another, and we can still be friends. Like, I just think nowadays it's just like, oh, you voted for X, Y, whatever, and now we can't be friends, or I'm not going to go and visit my family because they voted a different way than me. Like, what? There was I can't remember where, but there was a story about a married couple who were in politics. One was Democrat and one was Republican, yet they were married and they had a successful marriage. Okay. So it's just like that. You can do it. We can get along. We're all human beings. Can we do that? Anyhow. So I think that is a huge thing. Yeah. So that was like a huge thing too. And I think also my mom is a boomer. She's still alive. My dad was from the silent era. They grew up, specifically my dad, he's like one of those from trailblazing it because his parents were from Italy. To them, it's like you go to work, you do a good job, you work your butt off, you can get a house, you can have savings, and you can be comfortable. That is the American dream, I guess. And yet, like, being able to create something from nothing, work your ass off, and then you will be successful and in whatever it is that you are endeavoring to have. Like, if you want a house and family, then you can have your house and family. If you want to have a career, you can have a career. It's like, you know. But right now, I'm 42. I just turned 42. The answer to every life and everything. It is so difficult. I can't buy a house. I have never bought a house. I'm not a first-time home buyer. Not yet, anyway. I don't know if I ever will be. I'll be dead by the time I'm able to do it. And New Jersey's... Whew. Let me just say, I know that there are other expensive states out there, but New Jersey is no joke. It's ridiculous. And I'm renting, and so I'm throwing my money out the window to just be able to have a place to lie my head at night, and an exorbitant amount, I might add. And I think we get dejected on the idea that, well, they were able to do it. Why can't we? And it affects us, how we see things, our hope. And our ambition has changed. So I think that the nostalgia part of it is looking back at that time when we had all these hopes and aspirations and we had a better life as a whole. And here we are, you know, just paycheck to paycheck, man. That's what I'm like. Every single penny accounted for and I still owe things. So it's just like, I want to go back to the 90s. Do I want to go back to school? Hell no. I was thinking about that the other day, like, because I constantly have these existential crises where I'm sitting at work, like, I am literally sitting in a box wasting my life away for fucking what? And then I'm like, if I could just go back, I'm like, well, I was just sitting in a building, a brick building with people I hated that made my life hell for, you know, essentially for 6 hours a day. So, I mean, I might have had a little extra time when I got home and I would have, you know, summer off. But if I could go back, I'd just be like, I'm dropping out, Mom, Dad. I don't need to be here. I'm fine. I'll just read a book or two. We're good. I'll take my GED. F this place. I wish I did that, to be honest with you, because it was hard. I don't know how I survived. Like, I know music played a huge part, my imagination and the ability to go to my 10-acre farm that my dad and mom, you know, didn't own, but, you know, were paying mortgage on. And I could just escape and I didn't see these people. So I think the fact that I had that escape and we didn't have social media or, you know, we had internet, but there was no place to post and to get me. So I was able to get away from it. So that helped a lot. And the world that I created in my head. So a little bit more on that 1999 theory and the end of an era. So what is the 1999 theory? Let me just give you a little bit of like a little bit more of a backstory on that. The idea that culture fundamentally changed after the 90s, making it the last decade with a truly distinct identity. And that's why I asked them, like, do you think it was the last great decade? The rise of mass internet use, globalization and corporate media, diluted subcultures. The shift from analog to digital, VHS to DVD, physical media to streaming, in-person interaction to online communication. The feeling that time has become stagnant and repetitive post-2000. And I do truly feel that. Do I completely believe in this? No. But there are aspects of it. Like if you cherry pick some of the ideas and you're like, I kind of feel like this, and I do question it, you know, I don't go, you know, touting it off, you know, I'm saying it here only because I posed the question, why do we put so much stock in the generations and this nostalgia? And the cultural identity shift. Every decade before had a unique vibe, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, each defined by its own music, fashion, and trends. Since the 2000s, cultural identity has felt less distinct, with constant revivals and reboots rather than new cultural movements. And are we just recycling nostalgia instead of moving forward? Which is, like I said, and this is all stuff I've said prior, and I didn't know about this theory until recently, and I was like, huh, fascinating. Do I think we died? No. Do I think we're asleep? That's an idea, that we're just asleep and this is a dream. Well, it's a bad dream for me. Hopefully it's a good dream for you. But so, and then I had that as a note and I forgot to add those in. So that's like the 1999 theory. If you believe it, fine. If you don't, fine. Do I believe it? Nah, you know, there's some aspects to it that are fascinating, but I'm not saying like I'm basing my belief system underneath that. Okay. So the millennial versus boomers, the economic and social shifts. That's what I was talking about a little bit before the 1999 thing. We're saying that boomers in the silent generation, which was my mom and my dad, were raised with the idea that hard work equals success, home ownership, and stability. Like I said. Millennials were told the same thing, but grew up in a completely different economic landscape. So we were taught by our parents, regardless of what generation they might be, because they were also told, you did the work, you got success. You had to put in the work, period. It was like kind of like jammed down our throats that you had to put this, you had to work your ass off. But at the end, you would get something. And you could retire. I don't think I'm ever going to retire. I'm going to be working in my grave. Wages have stagnated while the cost of living, housing, healthcare, education has skyrocketed, which we all know, which we are all dealing with. Student loan debt and inflation have made the American dream feel unattainable. And it's so true. Like you're sitting there like, I just want to be able to not just have to get up, go to work, and then come home, pay bills, and go to sleep. And then just do it again. And on the weekend, I go food shopping, and I can't do anything else. You know, and then I hope to God that that's going to get me until my next paycheck. It's not nice. And it's soul crushing. So why do millennials cling to nostalgia? So the 90s were a time of relative economic stability for kids. For us, obviously, we didn't have the responsibilities that our parents had. But we were, you know, unless you unfortunately had moments where it didn't feel secure for you, and I'm very, very sorry if that is something you had to deal with. For me, like, it wasn't something I worried about. I worried about it after I was at the age of 17 when my dad passed away, and then my mom didn't know how to handle anything. So I know what it's like to not know if you're going to have a place or lights on and stuff like that, because my mom didn't know how to handle. I didn't have a job, so I get both sides of the coin. We were comfortable, some things I never had to worry about, and then I learned really quick what I had to worry about. We didn't realize the struggles coming. Well, I kind of did, but it was in the 2000s. Nostalgia is an escape from the reality of economic hardship. So yeah, maybe all of this, me doing this, other people doing nostalgic things and talking about whatever, because we just want to escape this horrible world that we're living in and hoping that when we come back out of it, it'll be better. We'll see. But yeah, it's an escapism for sure. The desire to return to a time before everything felt financially and socially overwhelming. And that is the truth. Just having to go back and just work and also be able to do other things. And now it's just like work, 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 sleep, die. You know, technology and the internet's role play a huge part in why we might put a lot more stock in things as well. The 90s had the internet, but it was a tool, like I said, not a lifestyle. It was there to be used. We dabbled in chat rooms, we dabbled, you know, like AIM, and later on it's MySpace. But the 90s was just like email, instant messenger, and chat rooms. That, you know, ICQ, I think, was around too. There probably was other things, but I only explored the things I mentioned. So, but it wasn't like coming home, going on the computer, and that's it. You come home and you like you might spend some time on the computer, maybe to do homework, to type something up. But other than that, maybe play a game if you were into that. But I had my PlayStation, so I didn't have to worry. Social media changed how we interact, which I keep saying. It just makes the past feel more distant, but more accessible. Because we're able to search things. We're able to look things up. YouTube gives us old commercials and old shows. And like there's things that come back around on whatever streaming platform that you have, you happen to have or change to whenever you want to. It gives us those accessibility things to things that we're will always be nostalgic to us. Comparison culture, seeing curated online lives makes us long for simpler times. So you've got these influencers on there showcasing their stuff. I mean, have you watched some of these documentaries on the family vloggers? Oh my goodness gracious me. I cannot believe. Well, I mean, maybe I could believe it. And it's unfortunate that that's happening and these kids are being used that way. But Jesus Christ. And we just want some simpler times. Can we just go back to that? Jeez. So did Gen Z experience the same shift? So Gen Z grew up fully immersed in the digital life. So my son has not known a life without digital. Computers, even the streaming services. I still had regular television at the time when he was younger. But yeah. And do they feel that nostalgia the same way as millennials? Because of that, because everything is so jammed in their face and already digitalized and it's easily accessible, because some of the stuff that we grew up with, there are still things I can't find anywhere that haven't been re-released on some streaming platform. Or I have to go find an old VHS of something, and or I hope to God that I still kept one of our homemade recordings from television that my mom would do. Sometimes it's hard to find those things. So, of course, we're a bit more nostalgic about it because we can't find it, but we will remember it and think about it. So I have a couple other notes that I wrote down for political and social landscape then versus now. So the 90s were not perfect, obviously. But the Clinton era economy, tech boom, and the pre-9/11 world felt stable compared to today. And that is a truth. I mean, I know there was a lot of other things going on during that time. It wasn't perfect. Like I said, it's not perfect. But it was most definitely better. Post-9/11, Patriot Act, war, increased political division. Very true. And I think that the tension, that constant stress, and the constant worry of, like, if you even just say something wrong, what will happen? That cancel culture thing, too. And the rise of extreme political polarization compared to the more neutral feeling of the 90s. So in the 90s, it's like I said, it was like you're Republican, you're Democrat, or you have this thought, you have that thought. And, you know, and people just kind of went on their way and you did your thing. You know, you did what you needed to do and you moved on. Now it's like you do something, somebody doesn't like it, post it all over the social media, bitch about it, people comment. It's a thing. It's like, just everybody calm down. Calm down, man. Calm down. So how this affects generational perspectives. So millennials feel disillusioned growing up with expectations that didn't materialize. Gen Z grew up already aware of instability, possibly leading to a different kind of realism or even apathy, which... yeah, I think it's like we kind of desensitized to a lot of things, unfortunately. There's things that you should never be desensitized to. With social media and the way things are, it just, that's kind of how it's going. And it wasn't like that before. Is nostalgia helping or hurting us, you know? And I think there are times where I revel in the fact that I grew up that time, you know, honestly, like I'm happy. As much as it was a painful experience in school for me, I'm happy I grew up during that time. I feel like I had a great mix of both worlds and coming into like an understanding the digital era, but also embracing and kind of wanting back the analog time, to be honest with you. Does looking back keep us from moving forward? And for me, it was definitely, and it on at times is the truth. Thinking back into the past all the time and wanting it, it doesn't make it happen. So instead of like focusing mainly on the fact that I wish this was, you know, we were back at that, you also have to say, okay, well, what can I do to make this life better? It's hard. And I think, like I said, we do feel disillusioned that we were shown a carrot and then taken it away right as we were almost there, unless you already got there, unless you were like really quick with it. And I sure as hell didn't, but I didn't have too much of a leg up either, but here I am. Or is it a necessary coping mechanism for a generation that feels lost? And I think that it is. Coping mechanisms are useful, but also you have to look into why we're doing it and how we can, you know, make it better if there is a way that we can. And there, like in our own little lives, yes, I think. And then if we just realize what we're saying, what we're doing, what other people are saying, what we're doing, and kind of just take a step back instead of just automatically running into the comment section, like, all right, let's just move on our way, you know, like it used to be. People taking out their phones, like, I want that time back where it's just like, if you did something stupid in out in the world, you didn't have to worry about who's recording it, you know. And I'm not talking about bad, I'm just saying, like, god forbid you trip and smash your face against it. It's like all over the internet at that point. It's like, can I just have some privacy, man? Man. So do you feel the same way about the 90s being the last distinct decade? So like that was the question I posed in the beginning, and I pose it again. You want to make a comment, please do. This goes on Spotify. This goes on my YouTube. So please comment. I appreciate anybody who does. Nobody has thus far, but hey, you know, always open for it. And if you're a Gen Z, if you're a Gen Zer and listen, do you have any similar attachment to your childhood, and does it feel different for you? For anything, if you've listened to this and you are a Gen Zer and you've listened to any of the stuff that I've talked about, do you have something similar? Feel free to share, or you don't have to share. You don't have to give me all your information, but, you know, yes or no. And then, you know, why not? Yeah, I know that this is a little bit of like a darker. No, I don't want to say darker. I know this is a little deeper type of episode and a little bit more introspective than my other ones. They're, you know, usually I try and keep it light or fun or stupid stories that happened to me. And believe me, I have plenty more. Don't you worry. But I, coming back to it, I did have these questions like, why is it so prevalent in millennials? Like, why? I'm one of them. I'm doing it. I'm talking about it, you know, and I do feel it. So I just, you know, I kind of wanted to get a litmus test out there and see how other people feel. And if you have any other suggestions as to like maybe what I should talk about or what I should touch upon or how you might think I should expand this podcast to be a little bit more than nostalgia, because I kind of want to do a little bit more, or maybe just create another podcast, but I kind of don't. I want to build this one up more. You know, I've been doing this podcast for 3-4 years now, and I have 35 followers on Spotify that I'm like, oh my God, what? Where did these people come from? Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I hope you enjoy these. And I will get the content out for you guys. I'm trying, my original plan was having one a week, and I'm going to try and do that again. So this is my one. I'm recording this on a Saturday. So, but I try and like pre-record other ones, and then I'll edit them and I'll post it. But you know, I'm pretty bad at that just because of time and work, and you get home and you're just tired. But I make time. You have to just make the time. So yeah, that's it. That's all I had today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you have any other suggestions, please, like I said, leave a comment and let me know. And tell other people if you think other people would be interested. I am appreciative of anybody who listens and enjoys, obviously. So thank you so much for listening to That 80s Child, The Generation Y. And I am Gabrielle, and I will be back with another one, and hopefully in a more consistent way. So I appreciate you all. Thank you so much. Bye.